Both men and women participated in Sufism. Emphasis on ascetic detachment or renunciation of dependence on the material world was complemented by the contribution of Rabia al-Adawiyya, who died in 801, who fused asceticism with an undying devotional love of God. This combination of the ascetic with the ecstatic would permanently influence the future development of Sufism. An attractive and desirable woman, she declined all offers of marriage, not permitting anyone or anything to distract her from total dedication and commitment to God. The following words attributed to Rabia capture her selfless love and devotion. O my Lord, if I worship you out of fear of hell, and if I worship you in hope of paradise, exclude me from it. But if I worship you for your own sake, then withhold not from me your eternal beauty. The spread of Sufism led to the absorption of outside influences from the new areas to which Sufism spread, from Africa to Southeast Asia. Sufism adopted and adapted a variety of mystical doctrines, ranging from the sober to the intoxicated. Because of its adoption of external un-Islamic influences, Sufis came to be in conflict often with the more orthodox, legal-oriented, legal-minded ulama or religious scholars. Their conflicts revolved around issues of authority and power. The ulama typically sought to apply the letter of the law, while Sufis were more concerned with the spirit of the law. The majority of the ulama dismissed Sufi doctrine and practice as heretical deviation from orthodoxy. Many Sufis were persecuted and even executed as a result. A prominent theologian emerged to save the day, Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, who died in 1111. He synthesized and reconciled these diverse religious and philosophical currents of his day. Trained in law, theology, and philosophy, he responded to the major theological and philosophical challenges of his times. However, his brilliant career was cut short by a spiritual and psychological breakdown. In the midst of this spiritual crisis, al-Ghazali turned to Sufism, tempering reason and law with Sufism's emphasis on religious experience and love of God. The results were captured in what many consider to be his greatest work, the revivification of the religious sciences, which synthesized law, theology, and mysticism. Law and theology were presented in terms that were acceptable to the ulama, but were grounded in direct religious experience and interior devotion. Al-Ghazali's work led to his recognition as one of Islam's greatest scholars and earned him the title of the Renewer of Islam, a title which is reserved for one individual in each century for their work in revitalizing Islam. Now, Sufi orders emerged also around the 12th century, and it is the 12th century which proved to be a turning point, both because of al-Ghazali's legitimation of Sufism and the emergence of these orders or brotherhoods that transformed Sufism into a popular mass movement, cutting across social classes and educational backgrounds. Sufism grew now beyond its more urban elite roots. Its loose voluntary groups or associations that had met in mosques or private homes were replaced now by organized brotherhoods or religious orders, tariqas, with their own distinctive institutions and international networks. By the 13th century, brotherhoods had created international networks of centers or monasteries, zawiyas or zawiyas, that transformed Sufism into a mass movement whose preachers were the great missionaries of Islam. Mystics, not the military, spread the faith from Africa to Southeast Asia. Sufism became integral and pervasive to popular religious practice and spirituality in Islam. Sufi spiritual leaders or masters, sheikhs or peers, enjoyed great religious influence, authority, and power, both spiritual and material. Sufi monasteries or compounds served as spiritual, social, educational, and cultural centers. Their buildings and services included the master's residence, living quarters, a mosque, school, hospice, soup kitchen to feed the poor, a clinic to care for the sick. Many of the characteristics, though, of Sufism find similar experiences in Christianity and other faiths. Sufi orders or brotherhoods formed with centers or monasteries. The investiture of initiates or disciples included distinctive garb of the order, a discipline of body and mind. Sufis recited a litany of God's names and attributes, counting them on a string of beads similar to a rosary. The founders of Sufi orders often came to be venerated as saints. Their tombs became sites for pilgrimage and even miracles, their birth or death commemorated and celebrated. In contrast to more austere interpretations of Islam, some Sufis used music and song, as well as dance and bodily movements. The followers of great Sufi mystics, Jalal ad-Din Rumi, who died in 1273, the whirling dervishes, are a prime example, and they exist down to today. Popular Sufism at times did slip into magic and superstition, as well as withdrawal from the world. Some of the major Islamic revival or reform movements of the 18th, 19th, and 20th centuries sought to eliminate these superstitious practices. And it indeed is, are these practices and the reaction to them that we will look at when we turn to the rise of Islamic revivalist movements in the 17th and 18th century and look at Islamic modernist movements in the 19th and 20th century and indeed other reform movements existing down to the 21st century.